welcome to the Paper Club podcast, where every month we invite a data science expert to the show to highlight and discuss an academic paper from the AI, machine learning, or data science literature. I am one of your hosts, Rafael Herrera, and my co-host is a data scientist and generative AI ambassador for Deeper Insights, Sonia Marks. Welcome to the show.
Hi, everyone. I'm excited to be here.
This month, we have a very special kind of show because we usually discuss a specific piece of literature from all of those different areas, AI and everything. But because we're starting the year fresh, 2024 is looking very, very good. We want to look back at 2023 and see what our delightful industry has provided us, because we're a big team of AI fans. We love it. And for that, we decided to have two special guests on today to talk about their favorite AI technologies from 2023. We're all going to participate in this. It'll be a fun little chat, a slight change in format this month, but we'll be back to our normal format next month where we are going to talk about a specific paper. But either way, bear with us. I hope you're an AI fan, because I know we certainly are, and I know that this person is. And our first guest is Leticia Fernandez. She is a senior data scientist and generative AI ambassador at Deeper Insights also. Welcome to the show, Leticia.
Hello, Rob.
We also have a second guest today, and that is Dr. Katarina Carvalho. She is a senior data scientist and computer vision expert at Deeper Insights. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Raf.
All right, so we've assembled our team of AI geniuses here, and we're going to just jump into what was your absolute favorite AI technology from 2023. Leticia, go for it. What was it?
My favorite topic from 2023 was retrieval augmented generation. As you know, during 2023, we had the big hype of large language models, generative AI technologies focused on natural language processing, also computer vision. But for me, it was interesting to see that besides being able to speak with a large language model and get responses and information out of its knowledge, we can also use our own data and the knowledge of the large language model to derive more insights from that data. This was one of the questions that I remember after ChatGPT arrived. People were like, okay, this is very nice. It's a very nice tool, but it doesn't have up-to-date information. The knowledge of these models are stuck in time. So they don't have up-to-date information, because this would mean that we would have to retrain these models every time new data comes along, and it would be extremely expensive. So one of the discussions that we had initially is, how can I then augment the knowledge of these large language models without having to retrain it from scratch or doing further pre-training? Because not all of us have access to these powerful GPUs to train these models. And one of the solutions that we have is the retrieval augmented generation methods. In this case, we are not training a model. We are only providing more information as inputs to the model in order to get some responses from it. And it can be used for several types of applications, ever since clients that are interested in, well, making questions to their own data, because many businesses have tons of data and they cannot consume all that data automatically. So having a way of interacting more easily with this data is very relevant. And it's not only text format data. I think retrieval augmented generation can also be used with images. If we are searching for a specific image, we can embed. Now I'm getting a bit more technical. I don't know if we should.
You're on the right show.
Yeah, okay. But we can embed the input query into a vector that is on the same embedding space as an image and get the most similar images, well, compared to that input query in order to get some more answers from it. Also, one other application, because what I've been speaking so far is you talking with your own data, but also having some sort of tool that connects the large language model to the internet, we are also doing retrieval augmented generation, because The model and the framework behind it will connect the input query to the internet, get information from the internet, and use it to augment the knowledge of the large language model. So there are tons of applications that can be used using retrieval augmented generation methods. It's simpler and possibly cheaper approach compared with doing a training from scratch, but it also has some challenges because it's not that trivial to build all this pipeline, particularly on the case of natural language processing. We've been facing some challenges in the way we chunk our data. Chunking means we need to break the data into smaller pieces because a model has a limit of the knowledge window that it can consume. So we need to break the text typically in smaller parts. And while doing this, we might be losing information that can be relevant to the context that we want to be extracting. So this is one of the challenges. How do we break the information in a meaningful way that will be useful for this retrieval method? Also, how do we embed this information into vectors? It's not that trivial because we have several embedding method models available out there, but they may not represent that well the data that you are interested in. For instance, if we are using a general embedding model that was trained with information from Wikipedia, it might not be able to represent so well data from the healthcare domain because it was not specifically trained for that data. So there are some challenges attached to this approach, even though it's a simpler approach and probably cheaper compared to with the pre-training of a large language model, but there are still some challenges. So it's not straightforward, and it's important to have the right people and the experts guiding you in this type of technique.
That's very interesting, and I see it being a very, very relevant use case. And I was wondering, because I come from more of a computer vision background, but I tapped a bit onto this matter this year. And one of the topics that made me more intrigued was actually that chunking of the data that we want to consume. So I was wondering, have you seen, because you're more knowledgeable about this topic, have you seen this year a good evolution in the techniques that we have available for these chunking mechanisms, and do you see it being brought forward in 2024 in a significant way?
That's a very good question. Well, at least from my experience, I haven't seen that much evolution on the chunking approaches that we currently have, but I think that large language models can also help with that, because one thing is to have those more traditional chunking methods like split a document by sentence or by paragraph. That is not that trivial. But if we ask a large language model, oh, can you please split these documents into paragraphs? It can do a pretty reasonable job. But then you have the issue of also how much money and time are you, and assessing time are you going to spend by using a large language model in order to chunk your documents? Because I don't believe you will have only like 100 documents, probably you will have thousands or millions of documents, and having a large language model doing all that processing might be too much. But I hope in the future and in this next year, we can improve a bit these traditional approaches for chunking, because now it's becoming more visible that we need them in order to get this right on the retrieval augmented generation methods.
Yeah, indeed, that part of the pipeline of the retrieval augmented generation, I think chunking can be one that is really, it makes or breaks it completely. So yeah, thank you for sharing that. Maybe we can go to the next favorite, Katarina. What was your pick for 2023?
Hello, hello again. So my pick for 2023 was Segment Anything by Meta. If you can, please go to Segment Anything, their website. You can test the demo. It's really easy. And you can see the power of these type of tools. You can upload any image and then like put some input prompts and it will segment anything, as the name says. And this is one of those tools that does what it says it will. And so I am a big fan. We are looking at these tools, for instance, as like a pre-processing step. For instance, we can, just like ChatGPT, we can use it to get initial ideas, to get initial results, and then improve and work. Segment Anything is just that tool. We can give it some images as input and then, yeah, have pre-processing and then do some more detailed training for the specifics of what we are looking. But it's a great way to start if you are looking into a segmentation problem.
I was wondering if you see, because in the SAM paper, it's a bit of an extra that they add in there, the text prompt option. They don't go very in detail, or they in the conclusion, I think, say that it's a topic that needs to be revised and further investigated in the future. Do you see that possibility can just take segmentation tasks to just a completely different level? Because I've seen some things like grounding Dino, that is a zero-shot detector, that can be, it can use text prompts to do detection, but, and then you can use that bounding box as a prompt for SAM.
Yeah.
But if in one way, one model thing, we could do everything, and grounding Dino still has a bit some problems, but do you expect that in 2024 that field is explored further?
Definitely. I think having these, because we have the encoded space, we have the encoders, we have Stable Diffusion that it's already working from text to image. Some is doing images and prompting points, but I don't see that big of a step between giving text and then for SAM to look at the structure of interest. Grounding Dino is also a very good tool that we can use. It has this semantic knowledge, it does the detection, so it's like, it's almost like combining the two. I'm pretty sure someone very smart is already looking at those things. And for us, it gives us a really big initial step. We can start already from something very reasonable and improve it, and the results can be a reality much faster.
It sounds like so far the top choices for last year's AI are the ones that are going to help you work easier.
Definitely. That's the goal of all these businesses, working less, working a bit more on the creativity side, and leveraging what we humans are good at and not doing some repetitive and monotonous tasks, as we've seen. We have some clients that are still, well, they are coming to us and they need annotation data. That's still a reality. That's really boring if someone has ever done it. So it's a need. And the tools that help us and that gives us that advance, then we should leverage it. And I think Segment Anything is one of those tools.
I agree. Honestly, when it comes down to it, we're building all these tools for a specific reason, right? That reason is to give us shortcuts in our work, whether we're working at an AI consultancy or working anywhere in the world doing whatever. These tools are there for that reason. So I'm totally there with you.
Yeah. And the important thing that we should not forget is that we have to know how to use these tools. We have to recognize the limitations. We have to recognize where they are good at. And then it's like using the free time we gain with developing even cooler applications.
That's a good way of looking at it. I like that. So Sonia, you're up next. What did you choose and how is it going to help you do your work a lot faster?
Actually, for this one, I've actually used it in a very recent project. So it's funny that you mentioned that. Stable Diffusion in general, being an open source set of models, in particular, the Stable Diffusion in painting. Having worked in the computer vision, especially in the medical field, in which it's very hard to get your hands on a lot of data. And most of these models, either if you're using it for segmentation detection, it doesn't matter. They're very dependent on the amount of data that we have. Data augmentation is a technique that is always, always super important. Basically one of the top things that we look at when we start a project. Stable Diffusion in terms of generating new images has been very relevant this year.
You're saying data augmentation. Is that different than data synthesis?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. Data augmentation is any technique that you use to augment your data set. So it can be just generally new complete data. So in terms of images, a complete new image, given that you want to maintain the distribution of the data sets that you're using in the context that you're using. But it can also be that you are slightly changing the images that you already have. And in this case, so for generating new images, we have a lot of models, and with text prompts, we can generate a lot. But I was more interested in changing the changing option. So these in-painting pipelines are very handy for that. So basically what I was doing in this project was detection of a particular species. And for that, given that the data set was limited, I thought I would pick some background images from the data set. So images that did not have this species present. So there would be negative classification, and just place there artificially generated animals. So in this case, what I learned was actually that in painting is not a method created to place objects, but actually replace. So a hint for anyone that is thinking about using these pipelines, don't just straightforward use background images. So you want to replace something. So if there is nothing that you in that image, you should at least artificially place something that is more or less the silhouette that you want to have in the end. So for me, in this case, let's imagine I wanted to paste on this background a flower. So, and there was no flower, it was a blank wall. I would have to artificially use that mask to artificially draw a silhouette on that wall and then feed that to the pipeline. And then the pipeline would actually know where to place it. The mask wouldn't be enough. So this is a bit more technical. A technical hint.
I'd call that a nice pro tip for anybody
else. Pro tip, yeah.
Kind of thing.
Learn from my mistake.
So just remember, in painting is used to replace, not to paste.
Exactly. It was a very rewarding experience. I really liked it. I was looking forward this year ever since I learned that there was so many models, so many diffusion models available open source. I knew I wanted to use it for data augmentation in a project, and I finally got the chance to do it. And it was a very interesting experience, and that's why it's my favorite. And I think you are next, Raf. What was your favorite?
Well, you know what? I am not working in the same areas as you. All of you are data science people, and I'm just an average guy in the world. So what matters to the average guy in the world? Well, the thing that everybody's been talking about all throughout 2023, and that is ChatGPT. Because honestly, if I can speak to my cousins and aunts and uncles about AI, they usually bring up ChatGPT. That's the only thing they know. This is essentially the AI's, and people have called it this, AI's iPhone moment, where everybody, all of a sudden, it's a mainstream idea. People have an idea of what it is, what it could do. I think ChatGPT has really given us a lot in the last year, from their first 3.5 model to the 4 model to being able to process images, connect to the internet, an iOS app that you can just have on your smartphone, take a picture of something, and it'll tell you what it is. It's insane. The multimodal side of everything has just really taken off.
I really like the option to upload PDFs. So when I want to read like a huge paper, 20-page paper, at least I can start with the summary from ChatGPT. It's really useful.
Yeah, I agree. And that's the thing. ChatGPT has helped make AI mainstream, and it's really helped people in their day-to-day, everything from selecting how many calories is this item to how do I plan out or brainstorm for this new thing or new idea, new book, new whatever. And I think that's what these tools should also be about, simplifying things for everybody, not just data scientists.
If I may add, from the data scientist perspective, it also helps designing tests. It helps thinking about different solutions, initially thinking about an approach to tackle a problem. It also helps with some understanding of these, yeah, as Sonia said, these very complex papers and these very long texts. So it's really cool.
No, I agree. It is absolutely very cool. It also helps me with my work as well. I mean, it's the better version of Spellcheck for me. So it's great. I love that. And I think that's the theme that I've noticed with all of us, and I'm sure in the world as well, is that these AI tools are certainly helping us do our work a little bit more smoothly, a little more easily. And it's really given me a lot of hope for the future. I'm very optimistic about AI. I understand, yes, it could all be horrible. It could turn into the Terminator or the Matrix. Sure. I understand. There are negatives. There are limitations. But we're at the beginning of something really interesting and something very, very useful. And I think it could be very positive. I think at least we have awareness that it could be dangerous. So that's the first step to finding a solution to all of that. But that actually leads me to the next point I actually wanted to talk to all of you about, because clearly we've looked back and we all have an enthusiasm for this industry and the technology that's coming out of it. But and those are our highlights. But what do you have in your heads for 2024? This is 1 year we went from barely talking about it or knowing about it in any mainstream kind of way, at least, to everyone knows what it is. And all of you have seen the development of so many different tools in 12 months. So, oh, and I just want to add this to the note. I understand that ChatGPT came out in 2022, but it was only by a month. So I just want to throw that in there. Anyway, what does everybody think is going to be the big technology for 2024? And, you know, I'll kick this off because I'm already talking, I may as well. I'm looking forward to learning more about AI video at the moment. I am kind of unimpressed. I understand it's hard. I understand it's lies. Every second is 24 images, and even creating one image is difficult. So I get that. That's fine. But right now, not impressed. It's the beginning, but I'm looking forward to it. I think within a year, we're going to have something dramatically interesting and useful and fun. So that's one thing I'm looking forward to in a big, big way. Maybe I can have all kinds of fake vacations around the world, different planets, and then I don't actually have to go. How great is that? Leticia, what do you think?
From my perspective, and one thing that I'm very excited about is just seeing more real-time applications using large language models. Because as we know, we have interacted with Siri or Alexa or even the Google Assistant as well, but they are not that smart. We all know. So if we can now incorporate the knowledge of a large language model on these virtual assistants, it would be very cool. So I think this is something that they are definitely working on at the moment, but I'm curious to see the end result. Because you were mentioning the RAG, so retrieval augmented generation, maybe we can speak to these LLMs and teach them stuff and feed them information. Yeah. And they can memorize it. We can have virtual friend, which is a bit sad.
Finally a friend.
Exactly.
An assistant.
Okay, an assistant.
Was also my friend.
And one thing that surprised me at the time, I don't know if you've seen the Google Gemini demo.
Oh, I have.
They really marketing the product as a real-time product, and it ended up not being like that. So it was quite disappointing for me because I was seeing the demo happening, and it seemed that the model was seeing the video of the paper Caesar Rock game that was happening, and also the voice that was not there, so you can only interact by text at this point. But I'm curious to see when they actually do it, because it seems very promising.
It seems within reach at the very least, right?
Yeah.
Oh, well, how about you, Katerina?
I think all our wishes for the next year, for 2024, are a bit similar. It's like bring technology a bit closer to real applications to use. Even, yeah, ChatGPT is used by everybody, but there's still some limitations. And the one that concerns, well, that I would like to see solved or help solving, is actually making Gen AI in computer vision applications a bit more realistic. We know Midjourney, we know it can, like, with the prompting, it can be look a bit futuristic. Or if we picture like a biomedical application, or if we picture environment situation where we want, for instance, we want to get a field full of acacias or a field full of cactus, I'm pretty sure currently resolution and knowledge of these Gen AI models is not there yet. So we still have to make our own datasets with realistic pictures, label our datasets, of course, with the help of these tools. But I would like to see Gen AI in computer vision getting a bit closer to real applications and real resolution, and maybe with the help of some mechanical models, something that's a bit more real-like together with the Gen AI power.
And then that leaves last but not least, Sonia. What do you think 2024 should have?
Mine is not like a very impactful one. I mean, you won't save the world, but it's a very personal favorite. Kind of the ick that I'll add this all year. Basically, that Midjourney is stuck on Discord. I really love Midjourney. It generates wonderful images, in my opinion. It has so many features, and it does not have an API available. Actually, I did some research, and there are some indie maker APIs available, but they're like $40 a month just to start with. So I think I won't play around with that, at least yet. And I think it's time Midjourney steps into the programmer's field and let us just automatically work with their features programmatically, even if it's just the zoom out feature. I love that. I think it would be so interesting, even for, like I said, data augmentation is something that it could be very helpful with. Yeah, I think they have great technology. They have great models that produce stunning imaging. And it's time to get off Discord. It's okay, they're nice there, but come to the real world now. Or at least a web application, or a normal web application. So my mom can use it more easily.
I have heard they are working on it, and they've people testing it. So maybe by 2024, you'll be completely over the web app.
That's
you'll be like, I want an app on my phone now.
Yes, please.
So why not?
All I wish for 2024.
Sounds like we had a great 2023. I'm really excited about everything that came out. It seemed like every other day there was 5 pieces of news, a new tool, a new development, and it was constant for a while. Keeping up was very difficult. Fingers crossed that 2024 will be the same, because these things tend to be exponential, right? So hopefully we'll have something very interesting come out and we won't destroy the world with it. So that's great. I'm super excited. That closes out our year in review episode of the Paper Club podcast. We want to make sure that we highlight that we know there are limitations, but we are optimistic about all of that stuff, and we are certainly looking forward to the future. So with that, I want to thank my co-host Sonia and also Katerina. Leticia, thank you very much for giving us your thoughts on everything that we've looked at all of these different AI tools and all these ideas. It's always great to have you on the show. Obviously, this is, what, your 3rd or 4th time each or something on the show. Hopefully, we'll have you on a few more times. And to our listeners, if you like discussing data science and academic papers, please subscribe to the feed. We release these podcasts monthly and would love to have you along for the ride. Keep in mind, usually we discuss actual academic papers. We just decided to loosen it up a little bit for the beginning of the year and have a little fun. Discuss, gets us excited, because honestly, there's no group of more enthusiastic people than AI data science folks. So trust me, I'm around them all the time. If you have any questions for us, feel free to reach out to us. Send us an email at thepaperclub@deeperinsights.com. Say it again. thepaperclub@deeperinsights.com. And until next month, I am Raphael. I've got Sonia, Leticia, and Katerina. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.